the title that I put on it. And I thought about this, and you just read a few scriptures, and that's all it says about that person, you know. And I just want to share this with you tonight, and I pray that that the Lord give me the words I need to say, because I get nervous anytime you get behind the pulpit, because I'm going to be responsible for everything that comes out of my mouth. That's like I told Brother Vance. I said, you know, he told me I wouldn't. Obligated. I didn't have to do this tonight if I didn't want to, and I count it a privilege to be able to fill in and do the best I can, and it's only God's going to give me the strength to do it. But if you turn over to the book of Mark, chapter 5 and verse 24. The book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 24. I want to try to tie this meaning together. But the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came into the press behind, and touched his garments, for she said, if I touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing him in himself the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, who touched me, or who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about and see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing the and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and behold of thy plague. Now turn over to the book of Matthew. I'm kind of showing a couple of places here. The book of Matthew, chapter 9, and two scriptures here. Verse 21, Matthew chapter 9, verse 21. And he says here, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, and said, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And here we hear the story about this woman that had the issue of blood and that suffered many years. And when we read this, her condition was an incurable disease. She went to many physicians and tried to seek help, and they could not do anything for her. But you know, you think about in this time of day, you got all these churches or what I want to call them, a church. These places that want to say, hey, we can heal you. You know, all these so-called healers out there, all they're doing is fake healing that couldn't do anything. And all they were doing is taking money. But here we have this woman. And what's so funny, or not funny, it was a certain woman. You know, when God saved you, you were that one particular person. Nobody else. It was this one person, that certain woman who had the issue of blood 12 years. She suffered. She had this incurable disease, and she suffered from false cures that she grew disappointed. And this incurable disease is just like this disease that this whole world has, and we have, even if we're saved, we still, is sin. Something that we can't comprehend. We saved sinner, you got lost. People that are sinners. Some don't want to face it. Some don't. You know, I still fail every day. You know, and I think of my Lord, you know, what he went through up on the cross of Calvary, that he saved me. He picked me before the foundation of the world, that he knew I was going to hear the word and be saved through the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ. But there was a certain person, this incurable disease. She suffered of false cures, and she grew disappointed. Sin will offer nothing but false hope. But the end, it will also disappoint you. You know, sin is always it's something that's at the beginning of time, that when with Adam, she suffered from the faltering finances. She grew poorer and poorer. You know, sin will rob you, you know, of your health. Sin will rob you of your happiness. Sin will rob you of your peace of mind. Sin will rob your hope. Sin will rob your wealth, just to name a few. But she suffered from a failing health problem, but she grew worse. But sin will slowly eat away until there's nothing left. You know, with that famous scripture that we owe, for the wages of sin is death. You know, sin is going to be death. For the wages of sin is death. But we see here the consequences of sin. You say, over here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Book of Hebrews, chapter 10. If I got my scriptures here all written down. Book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 30. You know, he said, "For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. Again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God." You know, people today don't care about anything that goes on in this world. They don't care about. They say, "Well, if I go to hell, I go to hell. It's, you know, it's just going. I'm just going to burn up, and nothing's going to happen." But if they just had a little dose of the Word of God, and if you know. To more of us, they'll have to open their eyes. I mean, God has to do it. I mean, when God revealed to me, I realized, you know, I was on my way to hell and didn't even know it until when I heard the Word of God and through His preaching. And when I see it, I was like, why didn't I see that? You know, but I couldn't see. I was dead. I was spiritually dead. I could not see anything because of that. But our nation, thinking of sin, the consequence of our nation is becoming more and more sinful. I mean, we can see that every day. You know, you can just flip the news on and see all the things that are going on in this world. And it just gets worse and worse every day. And sin, you know, sin is whether it's alcohol, drugs, sexual addiction, compulsive gambling, whatever the situation may be. It's always sin. That's the byproduct of sin. But what is sin? You know, defined as Simmons guy, he defined it as actions by which people rebelled against God, miss His purpose for their lives, surrender to the power of evil than to God. Or other words, anything that transgresses against God is sin, you know. Because God hates sin. And this world don't even believe that. They, you know, they say, how can God hate sin? How can a God send somebody to hell? Well, you can't blame God. You know, if you have an opportunity to be saved and you hear the word and you reject that word, that's your fault. That is your fault. But what is sin? We can see in the Old Testament sin is the transgression of the law, breaking of the covenant with God. But in the New Testament, sin has its roots of the inner man. Let's turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 15. The book of Matthew, chapter 15, and verse 18. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and that defile the man." That right there is pretty self-explanatory right there. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." But out of the heart, you know, we don't even know our own hearts. You know, God's the only one can see on our heart what kind of situation you know, or what our hearts can, you know, we're capable of doing anything. But God knows our hearts. The sin of, you know, is unbelief, rejects and denies, substitute for God's truth. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 18. Book of John, chapter 3, verse 18. The book of John, chapter 3, verse 18. Excuse me. Book of John, chapter 3, verse 18. Thank you, bro. I appreciate it. Yeah, thank you. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And it's pretty self-explanatory. You know, if you believe on him, you're not condemned. If he that believeth not is condemned already, but if he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son, it's talking about total depravity. We're totally depraved from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. You know. But sin, it's a nature, sinful nature, that is inherited because of Adam. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll start with verse 1. And he said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, I think about when God saved me, how he quickened me and made me alive, you know, and he did all that for me upon the cross of Calvary when he shed his blood. When, if you're not being covered in the blood, like Brother Vance, I've heard him make a statement. He said, if one sin is not covered, you're hell bound. If that one sin is not covered, you know, we all make mistakes. I mean, as being saved, I still mess up. Like I said earlier, we all come short, you know, because this old body, it's our enemy. You know, we're growing old because this old sinful body. You know, it amazes me. I joke with my wife when you see all these movie stars over there, they're getting 10 tons of plastic surgery done trying to get every wrinkle out. And I thought, you know, y'all wasting money because you're still old. If you're 86 years old and you're trying to pull every wrinkle out, you're still 86 years old. You know, and you're just fighting a losing battle. And some of them look pretty bad. It made it worse. But some of them look really bad. But anyway, I guess they're trying to prove a point, you know, that they can still say they stay young, I guess. But, you know. But anyways, I get off my point here. The sinful nature, sin is, you know, is the result. Here in the book of 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, and verse 3 said, or we'll start up here in verse 1. It said, My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, ye have an advocate, the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And that's why every morning when I wake up, you know, my wife knows every morning, I guess I got my routine of doing things. When I go out that door, I sit in the car and I pray before I even leave the driveway. And I always ask God, forgive me of my sins. You know, there's times when I even forget to pray. I jump in the car just to have it, take off, go. And then I get to work and I'm like, you know, I didn't even pray this morning. What's wrong with me? You know, we need to we're not perfect. You know, we still sin. He said, he said, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is appropriation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. You know, Jesus Christ is like a lawyer. You know, he's pleading to the Father. You know, it's like, you know, I'm not perfect. You know, we all going to, like I say earlier, we all going to mess up because we're still fighting this old flesh. And I think of Brother Harold. I always joke around with him, you know. And he said, this old body is breaking down. He said, this old sinful body is breaking down. He said, you know, there's times I felt sorry for him when he's just trying to walk out the doors. You know, and I know he's in a lot of pain and all that. But, you know, God took care of that situation, and I'm sure he is praising God and jumping up and down and excited, you know. You know how Brother Harold was. Love the Lord. So what does sin do? Well, it puts that barrier between God and man. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 2. Isaiah 59. Last one, bro. No, you're fine. This is good. Thank you. That's okay. Usually my one on my side. Just anyways. So where was that? Isaiah 59 verse 2. We'll start with verse 1. It said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ears heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and that he will not hear, that he will not hear. And I can use myself an example. When I got out of the Lord's will, basically I'm just running, thinking I can hide from him, I can get away from him. But you know, he chasing those that he loves, and trust me, he chasing me. I was so miserable, so sick. I mean, my health wasn't getting no better. He sat there, but he was there all the time. He still loved me despite the situation. Until that day, I finally turned back to him. But you know, when you have sin in your life, he says your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You know, that's what happened. You know, when I was running, I guess basically when I got out of church because I let people get under my skin. I think, you know, church is a waste of time. Church, you know, nobody cares, you know. And that's the attitude I had, and it stunk. But all it did, God beat me down to finally I had to crawl back and turn to him, you know. That sin, you know, man becomes a slave to sin. In the book of Romans chapter 6, the book of Romans chapter 6, book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. You know, being a slave to sin. B. being obedient. It also ruins that relationship. He says here in the book of James. The book of James. I got several scriptures here. Just trying to show you different points here. The book of James chapter 4. Beginning verse 1. From hence come wars and fightings among you. Come they not hence, even your lust that war in your members. And it's talking about your body. Your lust you have not. You kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. You know, it's trying to... It's like the situation happened to me this morning. There's a little accident this morning going to work. And pretty much it was a hit and run. And God never came back. And it caused me a flat tire and all this stuff. But I was so mad. And I thought if I didn't have a flat, I would hunt him down. That's just how that, you know, and it's just how you got to control your thinking, you know, because... And it was kind of weird. I was so mad because I had the flat, and the guy hit my car, and he didn't stop. He just kept on going. And I was sitting there tightening up the last lug nut, just going out, and out of the blue, some guy says, "Do you need help?" Scared me to, because it was pitch dark. Couldn't hardly see nothing. This little guy on a bicycle come by. I guess he was riding to work, I reckon. I said, "No, I don't need help." And then but I was getting ready to ask him something. I can't remember what I was going to ask him, but I was getting ready to ask him something. He just kept on riding just like the other guy did driving, you know. But, you know, in my mind, I just want to hunt that person down just because, I guess, because I'm human. You know, I was upset. I thought he didn't even bother to stop and see if I was okay or nothing, you know, just kept on going. But I collecting my thoughts and everything, and it's like, you know, hey, I'm okay. Lord brought me through this. I didn't get hurt, you know. Just go on with life, you know. But in the back of my mind, I was just like, boy, I just, you know, want to say something, you know. But even if I did talk to that person, I could have run a witness, an opportunity to witness to, you know, could have said something, you know, something dumb. You know, and ruined it, you know. And we got to get control, you know. And I'm not, like I say, I'm not perfect because sometimes I have a temper. I'll just lose over some of the dumbest stuff. But Brenda always tells me, he's like, why you get tore up over something silly, you know. But it's just something I've been dealing with. I've been doing better. I've been trying to keep control, but trying to control my mind. Anyways, sin has that guilt. You know, in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. I think I got it written down here. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. He says, "Now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." And death, you know, sin always struggles in the end of death. In Romans, over the book of Romans chapter 6, which is a familiar portion of Scripture, Romans chapter 6, and verse 12, it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace." Amen to that. We're under that grace. And God says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether a sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that formed doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. But I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things that whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the ending of that is sin. For the wages of sin is death. That's what it's going to come down to. You know, they said, well, he died of cancer, or if he died of a heart attack, or whatever the situation may be. You know, it's because of sin. They just something that God permitted it to use to bring it to that point. But it's all sin. That's all we face. But back to the woman that had the issue of blood, you know, and I was trying to tie some of this together. But of her course, you know, when she has this eternal physician of Jesus Christ, you know, when she saw that group. A group of people that surrounded Jesus when he was preaching, teaching, healing, whatever it may be. And she saw that and she knew who he was. When she caught the news of the Savior, that gave her the hope. She said, he is my hope. When she had heard of his healing, who will he heal today? Said she had seen the evidence of his healing. You know, what does the evidence of this world see today? All they see is death. You know, that's all this world shows. I mean, it's if you flip the news on, all you see is nothing but negative. There's nothing positive at all come from the news and from the things that are coming from this world. And but she's seen this evidence of healing and the evidence. She came near to the Savior to touch his the hem of his garment. But she made her way through the people, and she had a desire that was so strong that wants to it was that faith that she had. If we had that kind of faith and praying for our grandchildren that God will save them, or pray for somebody, your wife or a husband or whoever it may be that needs to be saved, you know, and you've got to have that faith that Jesus Christ will save them. You know, all you can do is preach the gospel to them, and that's all you can do. Just leave it there. I can't save nobody. You can't save nobody. It's all we can do is tell them how to be saved, and that's between them and God. I've talked to my dad so many times for a long time. You know, he goes, well, I've heard that story before. He had a brother that was a preacher. He said, I've always heard that all the time. You know, he said, it's just a bunch of words. You know, and now the situation he's in now, I mean, his mind's not even right anymore. You know, I don't know if he's saved or not. And, you know, he said, well, maybe one day, you know, but that day might not come. Might be too late. But this woman, when she saw it, she had that faith that she's going to be healed. Because you think about suffering 12 years of this issue of blood that she had, And then she stretched forth. She's like, you know, I want to be healed. She confessed to the Savior. Her cleansing was an immediate cure. Faith was the key. She believed that he was who he said he was, from all the preaching and teaching he did and the healing. She believed that he can do what he said he was going to do. And she believed that he did it for her. And that's the same thing. If God saves you, he did it for you. When Jesus Christ, actually, I was rephrasing this. When I nailed him on the cross, because he died for me. I don't know what he done for you all, but he died for me. I know he shed his blood for me. And I'm so thankful what he's done. Am I perfect? No. Still in this old sinful body. And it's just sometimes it's hard to keep it under control because, you know, you got to think right, do right. And you got people watching you to see you mess up. And then they're going to run you in the ground about it, you know. And that's just the way this world is. And she believed it was for her. And she said, you know, this conclusion, you know, it says Jesus can still heal. But don't let sin rob you, you know. Sometimes we get aggravated with one another or whatever it may be. You know, sometimes, you know, I make my wife mad and I'm thinking, okay, how long is she going to hold that against me, you know? But she forgives me, you know. And it's just, sometimes it's hard to do, you know. It depends on, you know, what it is. But now I try to do better. I try not to fly off the handle like sometimes I do. I get overly excited, I guess is the word, you know. But there is hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. And that's what she found in her, when we just read these few scriptures about Jesus Christ and what he did. And I mean, it's just a little portion of scriptures, all it says about her, and then it goes on. But there's a lot of teaching in that. A lot of powerful statement that's made there, and that's a lot of faith that's what she showed, and it takes a lot of faith. You know, we got to keep on keeping on, despite what this world, the situation we're going through. You know, we got to pray for one another. We got to be more together and praying for one another, because we're living in the last days, and it's getting worse. Even at the workplace, I mean, if you work where I do, you might have just quit the first day because it's pretty bad. And sometimes, and I always told Brother Vance, I said, I just want to walk out and quit because, I mean, we got one person cussing, carrying on, taking the Lord's name vain. I got one on this side doing the same thing, and nothing's been done. You can complain and complain, and it's just nothing's done. But that's what we face every day, you know. I mean, this world is horrible. But, you know, hearing that last portion of Scripture, you don't have to turn there. Well, it's familiar Scripture. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but we have a gift, and that gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is our hope. He's our light, and he's the only one we can go to give us that comfort. And we need to pray for one another, especially Sister Sue, be with her. Pray that God gives her comfort, you know, and all the sickness we have in our church. And we need to be so thankful for what God has done for us. We be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be in thy house. We thank you.